What would you do if the starving, blinded beast you dragged into your home turned out to be the most feared tyrant in the realm? She thought she was saving a defenseless animal. She had no idea she had just invited a massacring Alpha King into her own bed. The winter of 1348 in the dense borders of Roxburghshire was unforgiving, a bitter season that froze the rivers solid and buried the sprawling woodlands under feet of treacherous snow. For Genevieve, a solitary healer living on the outskirts of the remote village of Oakhaven, the cold was merely an inconvenience compared to the desperate need for medicinal roots. The villagers whispered that the deep woods were cursed home to creatures that walked on two legs by day and four by night. Genevieve, pragmatic to a fault, and burdened by the reality of surviving a harsh medieval existence, paid no mind to such folklore. Until the afternoon, she found the blood. It was a stark, jarring crimson splashed across the pristine white snowdrifts leading toward a thicket of dead brambles. Against her better judgment, Genevieve followed the trail. The metallic scent of copper hung heavy in the frigid air, mingling with an acrid, burning odor she would later recognize as concentrated wolfsbane. At the base of a hollowed oak, half buried in the snow, lay a monster. It was a wolf, but of a size that defied logic or nature. Its coat was a majestic midnight black, tipped with silver, but it was currently matted with frozen blood and mud. Deep, jagged lacerations tore across its massive flanks, the kind of wounds made not by a bear, but by weapons, swords, and silver-tipped pikes. The beast was shallowly breathing each exhale, a ragged, whistling wheeze that stirred the snow before its snout. Genevieve froze her basket of willow bark, dropping from her numb fingers. The creature was a lichen. The legends were not tales spun by drunken tavern keepers. They were breathing, bleeding realities. She knew she should run. She should turn back toward Oakhaven and alert the local magistrate. But as she took a step back, the massive wolf's head twitched. It turned toward her, and Genevieve gasped. The wolf's eyes, which should have been vibrant and predatory, were a milky, clouded white. Surrounding the sockets, the fur was scorched and blistered. Someone had deliberately blinded the beast, using a toxic poultice of ash and wolfsbane. The sheer cruelty of the act overrode Genevieve's terror. She was a healer. To leave a living creature to freeze to death in agonizing pain went against every fiber of her being. "You are going to kill me for this," she whispered to the empty woods, her breath pluming in the air. With trembling hands, Genevieve retrieved a heavy canvas tarp from her satchel, usually meant for hauling large bundles of firewood. Getting the massive beast onto the canvas was an excruciating endeavor. The wolf weighed as much as two grown men, dead weight, and burning with an unnatural fever. Miraculously, the creature remained unconscious, its body occasionally twitching in the throes of delirium. It took Genevieve nearly 3 hours to drag the makeshift sled back to her secluded stone cottage. Her muscles screamed, her hands were blistered, and her woolen dress was soaked with snow and the wolf's blood. When she finally managed to heave the beast through her heavy oak door and onto the hearth rug, she collapsed, gasping for air. She stoked the fire until the cottage was stiflingly warm. Armed with a basin of boiling water, clean linen, and her strongest antiseptic herbs, she knelt beside the creature. As she began to clean the horrific wounds across its ribs, a sudden sickening sound echoed through the quiet room, the sharp, unmistakable crack of shifting bone. Genevieve scrambled backward, knocking over the basin, as the wolf let out a guttural, agonizing roar. The beast's body contorted violently. Black fur receded, melting into pale, heavily scarred skin. Bones snapped, lengthened, and reformed with terrifying speed. Within moments, the monstrous wolf was gone. In its place lay a man. He was breathtakingly imposing, even in his battered state. broad-shouldered and heavily muscled. His body was a canvas of old battle scars and fresh bleeding gashes. His raven-black hair clung to a sharp, aristocratic jawline. Etched into the flesh of his left pectoral was a branding mark, a crowned wolf encircled by iron thorns. Genevieve covered her mouth to stifle a scream. She had heard of that crest. Everyone in the realm had. Before she could process the implications, the man's chest stopped heaving. The fever was taking him. Fear gave way to duty, and Genevieve rushed forward. She spent the entire night fighting a war against the Grim Reaper. She stitched the deep sword wounds on his torso, applied a drawing salve to the poisoned burns around his closed eyes, and forced a bitter willow bark broth past his lips to bring down the raging fever. By dawn, the man's breathing had finally steadied. Genevieve sat in a rocking chair across the room, an iron fire poker clutched tightly in her blood-stained hands. She had rescued a werewolf, and as she stared at the crown branded into his chest, she realized she had no idea what kind of monster she had truly invited into her home. It was late afternoon when he finally woke. Genevieve was at her wooden table, grinding dried comfrey root with a mortar and pestle. The rhythmic thump, thump, thump was the only sound in the cottage. Suddenly, the shifting of coarse linen blankets made her freeze. She turned to see the stranger sitting up on the hearth rug. His chest rose and fell in rapid, shallow breaths. He didn't look around. Instead, his head snapped sharply in her direction, tilting slightly, as if listening to the beat of her heart. "Where am I?" His voice was a dark, gravelly baritone that vibrated through the small room, commanding and dangerous even in its weakness. "You are in my home," Genevieve said, trying to keep her voice steady, her grip tightening on the heavy stone pestle. "Near the village of Oakhaven, I found you bleeding out in the woods." In a flash of movement so fast Genevieve barely registered it, the man lunged. Despite his injuries, he crossed the room in a single stride, his large, calloused hand wrapping around her throat and pinning her against the rough stone wall. He didn't squeeze enough to crush her windpipe, but the threat was abundantly clear. "Who else is here?" He snarled, his face inches from hers. Up close, she could see the damage to his eyes. He opened them, they were entirely clouded, a ghostly, unseeing white. He was completely blind.
No one.
Genevieve choked out her hands flying up to grip his thick wrist. "Just me. I live alone. Please, you're tearing your stitches." The stranger paused. His nostrils flared as he inhaled deeply, taking in her scent. The tension in his rigid shoulders slightly eased. He smelled dried herbs, old parchment, wood smoke, and the unmistakable fragile scent of a human. No silver, no wolf's bane, no hidden assassins. Slowly he released her throat. Genevieve slumped against the wall, gasping for air and coughing. "Forgive me," he muttered, though it sounded forced, as if the concept of an apology was foreign to his tongue. He reached out blindly, his hand grazing the wooden table to steady himself. "My enemies. They are many. I assumed you were one of them. If I were your enemy, I would have let you freeze in the snow or left the wolfsbane to rot your skull." Genevieve retorted, her fear momentarily eclipsed by indignation. She stepped away from him, smoothing down her apron. "What is your name?" The man hesitated. His unseeing eyes stared straight ahead, masking a storm of calculations. "Ewan," he finally said. "I am a rogue, a traveler. I was ambushed by bandits wielding silver." It was a lie, a calculated, necessary lie. The man standing in her kitchen was not Ewan the Rogue. He was Alistair of the House of Montgomery, the Alpha King of the Ironclad Pack. He was the undisputed, ruthless ruler of the Northern Territories, feared by humans and wolves alike. Known as the Blood King, he had a reputation for mercilessly slaughtering anyone who defied his laws. And 3 days ago, he had been betrayed. His own beta, a man named Rowan, whom Alistair had loved like a brother, had led a vicious ambush in the Weeping Woods. They had poisoned him with a concentrated wolfsbane mist that burned his eyes, stripping him of his sight, before running him through with silver blades. Rowan wanted the throne, and he had intended to leave Alistair to a slow, agonizing death in the freezing mud. "Well, Ewan," Genevieve sighed, moving back to her mortar and pestle. "Your bandits nearly saw you to the grave. You are blind, your body is broken, and you will not survive if you try to leave this cabin. You may take my bed until you heal." Alistair stood in silence. No one, absolutely no one, spoke to the Blood King in such a commanding, casual tone. For a moment, his pride flared, demanding he put this fragile human in her place. But the throbbing agony in his chest and the terrifying darkness clouding his vision grounded him. He was vulnerable. He needed her. Over the next week, a strange domesticity settled over the cottage. Genevieve changed his bandages, bathed his wounds, and fed him hearty stews. Alistair, accustomed to the finest meats and the groveling servitude of his court, found himself quietly anticipating the rough touch of her hands and the sharp, unimpressed cadence of her voice. She was utterly unafraid of him. The illusion of their isolated peace shattered on the eighth day. Genevieve had just returned from the village market, stamping snow from her boots. Alistair was seated by the fire, whittling a piece of pine with a knife she had reluctantly given him. "The village is in an absolute panic," Genevieve announced, dropping a sack of flour onto the table. "Soldiers bearing the ironclad crest rode through the square this morning." Alistair's hand stilled, his grip on the knife tightened until his knuckles turned white. "Soldiers?" he asked smoothly. "Why?" "They are looking for the Blood King," she scoffed, unwrapping her heavy shawl. "Or rather his corpse. Rumor has it the tyrant was assassinated by his own men. Lord Rowan has taken control of the capital and is hunting down the king's loyalists." A low, involuntary growl vibrated in Alistair's chest. The mention of Rowan's name made his blood boil with a violent need for vengeance. "I can't say I'm surprised," Genevieve continued, completely oblivious to the murderous aura radiating from the blind man by her fire. She began putting away her supplies. "The man was a monster. They say King Alistair slaughtered an entire village in the valley just for failing to pay a grain tax. He ruled through fear and bloodshed. If Rowan put a sword through his black heart, the realm is better off for it." Alistair's jaw clenched so hard his teeth ached. "Perhaps," he said, his voice dropping to a dangerous silken whisper. "The king had his reasons. Perhaps the village in the valley was harboring rebel forces, smuggling silver weapons to kill his kind. Did the rumors mention that—" Genevieve paused, turning to look at him. "It doesn't matter," she said softly but firmly. "Cruelty is cruelty. A king who leads by tearing the throats out of his enemies is no king at all. He is just a rabid dog waiting to be put down." The words struck Alistair like a physical blow. He was the monster in the dark to these people. To her, he listened to her heartbeat, steady and true, and felt a strange, twisting pain in his chest that had nothing to do with his silver wounds. For the first time in his immortal life, the Blood King felt shame. "Anyway," Genevieve sighed, walking over to him. She reached out gently, taking the knife and the wood from his rigid hands. "We don't need to worry about the affairs of kings and wolves. Let me look at your eyes." She stood between his parted knees, her proximity intoxicating. As she leaned in to dab a cooling salve over his ruined eyes, Alistair inhaled her scent. Rosemary Rain and something uniquely beautifully hers. The wolf inside him, usually violent and demanding, was terrifyingly calm, purring at her touch. Mate. The realization hit him with the force of a falling portcullis. This fragile, defiant human, who despised everything he stood for, was his destined mate. Before he could process the monumental discovery, a heavy, violent pounding echoed against the cottage door. Bang! 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 Open in the name of Lord Rowan! A gruff voice bellowed from outside. The heavy scent of wet wolf and iron seeped under the doorframe. We know you harbor a wounded man healer. Surrender him or we burn the cottage to the ground. Genevieve froze the jar of salve, slipping from her fingers to shatter on the stone floor. Alistair stood up, his blind eyes staring toward the door, his muscles coiled like a spring. The Blood King had been found. The heavy oak door of Genevieve's cottage splintered inward with a deafening crash, showering the stone floor with jagged wood and iron hinges. The freezing winter wind howled through the opening, bringing with it the imposing figures of three heavily armed men. They wore thick furs over chainmail, their chests bearing the crude painted emblem of a severed wolf's head, Lord Rowan's new crest. Leading the pack was Gareth, a hulking brute with a jagged scar bisecting his lip, known throughout Roxburghshire for his unmatched cruelty. "Well, well," Gareth sneered, his heavy boots crushing the shattered remnants of the door. His eyes locked onto Genevieve, who stood frozen by the hearth. "A pretty little healer hiding rebel scum. Where is the blind man? There is no one here but me." Genevieve lied her voice, trembling slightly, as she backed toward the fireplace, her hand blindly searching for the iron poker. Gareth laughed a harsh, grating sound. He stepped further into the room, his two men drawing their silver-coated broadswords. "We tracked the scent of his blood and rotting wolfsbane straight to your chimney. Drag him out, girl, or we will carve the truth out of your pretty skin." Before Gareth could take another step, a shadow detached itself from the dark corner of the cottage. Alistair did not speak. He did not issue a warning. The Blood King simply moved. Despite his blindness and his still healing wounds, his instincts were honed by centuries of warfare. He launched himself across the room with terrifying, unnatural speed. His hand shot out his fingers, locking around the throat of the nearest soldier, like a vice of solid iron. With a sickening crunch, the man's neck snapped, and Alistair tossed the lifeless body aside, as if it were nothing but a rag doll. "Kill him!" Gareth roared, stumbling backward in shock. The second soldier lunged, swinging his silver blade in a wide arc, aimed at Alistair's chest. Relying entirely on the sound of the whistling steel and the displacement of the air, Alistair ducked the blow effortlessly. He pivoted on his heel, driving his elbow upward to shatter the soldier's jaw, followed instantly by a brutal open-handed strike to the man's chest that cracked his sternum. The soldier dropped, gasping his last breaths on the stone floor. Gareth, paralyzed by the sheer brutality and precision of the blind man's assault, suddenly realized who he was looking at. The open collar of Alistair's linen shirt revealed the unmistakable brand of the crowned wolf. "It cannot be," Gareth whispered, all color draining from his scarred face. "King Alistair, the wolfsbane should have killed you." Genevieve stopped breathing. The iron poker slipped from her trembling fingers, hitting the floor with a loud clang. "King Alistair, the Blood King, here, in her home. You made a fatal miscalculation, Gareth." Alistair said, his voice dropping into a lethal silken purr. His milky white eyes stared dead ahead, but his head tilted, tracking the sound of the traitor's frantic heartbeat. "You left me breathing." Gareth let out a war cry, fueled by sheer terror, and charged, thrusting his sword toward Alistair's abdomen. But Alistair was already gone. He sidestepped the clumsy attack, grabbing Gareth's armored arm and twisting it until the bone shattered. As Gareth screamed, Alistair's hand clamped over the man's face. In a terrifying display of his Lycan heritage, Alistair's jaw elongated, his teeth extending into razor-sharp fangs. He did not fully shift, but the beast beneath his skin surfaced just enough to rip Gareth's throat out. Silence fell over the cottage, save for the crackling fire and the howling wind outside. Alistair stood amidst the carnage, his chest heaving, his hands stained crimson. He turned slowly toward the sound of Genevieve's rapid, panicked breathing. Genevieve, he began taking a step toward her. The terrifying baritone of his voice was completely gone, replaced by a desperate, pleading rasp. "Stay back," she screamed, snatching a silver paring knife from the table and holding it out in front of her. Her hands shook violently. "You are Alistair Montgomery, the tyrant, the butcher of the valley. I saved a monster." Alistair stopped instantly. The sight of her profound terror cut deeper into him than any silver blade ever could. He raised his bloodied hands in a gesture of surrender. "I am the king," Alistair admitted, his unseeing eyes filled with a heavy ancient sorrow. "But I am not the monster the rumors claim. The Valley Massacre, the village you weep for, Genevieve was not full of innocent farmers. It was a rebel stronghold operated by dark warlocks. They were kidnapping human children, draining their blood to forge cursed silver weapons meant to exterminate my kind. I did not kill them over a grain tax. I slaughtered them to save those children. The ruthless facade. A king of wolves cannot show mercy, or he is perceived as weak. I built a reputation of ruthlessness to keep neighboring packs from invading and plunging the human settlements into a crossfire. I am a monster, yes, but I am a monster who keeps worse monsters in the dark." Genevieve stared at him, her mind reeling. She looked at the bodies of Rowan's men on her floor, men who would have tortured and killed her without a second thought. She looked at the king trembling, not from rage, but from the agonizing exertion of protecting her. Slowly she lowered the silver knife. "Rowan will send more men," Genevieve said, her voice barely a whisper, yet carrying a newfound resolve. "And you cannot fight a warblind." Alistair let out a ragged breath, the tension leaving his massive frame. "Then what do you propose, my brave healer?" "I propose," she said, stepping over the wreckage to reach her apothecary cabinet, "that we cure your eyes. And then we take back your throne." For 3 grueling weeks, Genevieve and Alistair hid in the deep cavern systems of the Roxburghshire Mountains, far beyond the reach of Rowan's hunting parties. Genevieve worked tirelessly, using a perilous combination of eye-bright crushed moon seed and pure mountain spring water. She created daily poultices to draw the remaining wolfsbane toxins from Alistair's optic nerves. It was a painful burning process, but Alistair endured it in stoic silence, anchored entirely by her presence. During the long, freezing nights they talked, Alistair stripped away the terrifying armor of the Blood King, revealing a fiercely intelligent, weary leader, burdened by centuries of bloodshed. Genevieve in turn shared her dreams of establishing a true sanctuary for both humans and wolves. In the quiet darkness of the caves, the mate bond solidified, anchoring their souls together. On the 21st morning, the miracle occurred. Genevieve gently peeled away the linen bandages from Alistair's eyes. He blinked against the harsh light of the cavern fire. The milky white film was gone, replaced by striking, predatory eyes of deep amber. He looked down at the woman kneeling before him. He took in her exhaustion, her beauty, and the fierce determination in her eyes. He reached out his large hand, gently cupping her cheek. "I have spent centuries ruling in the dark, Genevieve. Alistair murmured, his thumb brushing over her lower lip. But you are the first light I have ever truly seen. Save your poetry, Your Majesty. Genevieve replied, though a soft smile betrayed her strict tone. We have a kingdom to steal back. 2 days later, they arrived at the gates of Dunford, the capital fortress of the Ironclad Pack. Lord Rowan was holding a grand feast in the Great Hall, celebrating his impending coronation. He sat upon Alistair's throne of iron and oak, surrounded by heavily armed guards and sycophantic lords who had eagerly betrayed their former king. The heavy mahogany doors of the Great Hall suddenly blew open with a concussive blast of sheer force. The freezing wind swept through the room, extinguishing half the torches and plunging the hall into shadows. Alistair Montgomery strode into the hall. He did not wear armor. He wore a simple dark tunic and a heavy fur cloak, but the sheer, suffocating aura of his alpha power rolled off him in waves, bringing several of the lesser wolves in the room instantly to their knees. At his side stood Genevieve, clad in dark riding leathers, her chin held high. Rowan, Alistair's voice boomed, echoing off the high stone vaults. It was a voice of absolute, terrifying authority. Get off my chair! Rowan leapt to his feet, knocking over his goblet of wine. Impossible! He shrieked, drawing his sword. You are dead! I killed you myself! You lack the spine to finish the job! Alistair sneered, his amber eyes glowing with lethal intent. Rowan commanded his personal guard to attack. Kill him! Kill them both! But the guards hesitated. Alistair's sight had returned. His power was absolute. Recognizing their true alpha, the guards slowly lowered their weapons and stepped aside, bowing their heads in submission. Realizing he was completely abandoned, Rowan let out a furious roar and charged at Alistair, his silver broadsword raised high. Alistair did not even draw a weapon. As Rowan closed the distance, Alistair effortlessly dodged the heavy, desperate swing. In a blur of motion, Alistair shattered Rowan's knee with a brutal kick. As the traitor fell, Alistair caught him by the throat, hoisting him clean off the floor. You betrayed your king, Alistair whispered, his voice echoing in the dead, silent hall. You endangered my mate. For that, there is only one sentence. With a swift, brutal twist, Alistair ended Rowan's life. He dropped the body at the foot of the throne and turned to face the terrified court. The Blood King is dead, Alistair announced, his voice ringing with absolute finality. He reached out, taking Genevieve's hand and pulling her up to stand beside him on the dais. The era of blind slaughter is over. From this day forth, I rule as the Iron King. And beside me stands your Queen Genevieve. Any who challenge her authority, challenge me. The court erupted into unified deep bows. Wolves and humans alike fell to their knees in respect and awe. Genevieve looked at the man beside her, no longer a broken beast in the snow, but a magnificent king who had conquered his own darkness. She squeezed his hand, and for the first time in his long, brutal life, Alistair Montgomery knew peace. What an epic journey from a freezing cabin to the throne room of Dunford. Genevieve not only saved a ruthless tyrant, but transformed him into the noble Iron King he was always meant to be. Do you think Alistair's enemies will truly let them rule in peace, or is another war brewing on the horizon? Let us know your thoughts in the comments below. If you loved this dramatic werewolf romance, please hit that like button, share the story with your friends, and subscribe for more thrilling tales.